Hello and welcome to the Metro West Daily News podcast. I'm Megan Kelly, digital editor for the Metro West Daily News. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd, and I am sitting here at the newsroom with Bill Shaner.
2 days to T-Day.
2 days to T-Day. So this episode, we decided that we're kind of going to make it half a extended around the Keurig and half a how to talk to your relatives this year at Thanksgiving, because it's going to be a volatile Thanksgiving like no Thanksgiving before.
Yeah, this could be one of the worst for arguments.
I think that no matter where you are on either side of the aisle, the fights could just get super, super bad. So
yep, we're going to have a few mad.
we're going to have a few things that you can talk about as conversation pieces that don't have anything to do with the election, and we'll also talk about some strategies that we have used in the past or have heard others use that will deflect conversation the way that you want it to go. So I came up with a list of a couple of things that would be good conversation topics that have nothing at all to do with the election and that would probably be a good idea regardless of the crowd. So one is that there are a couple of movies that are out now or that are coming out very soon that you might want to talk about to say, hey, is anyone going to see this? I'm looking forward to this. So, for example, the kind of Harry Potter prequel, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, that's already out. And also Doctor Strange, which stars Benedict Cumberbatch as the Marvel hero Doctor Strange.
People have said that's really good.
I've heard good things about it. I would like to see it pretty soon. Benedict Cumberbatch is one of my favorite actors. See, and this is a thing that you could say, like, yeah, he was really good.
See, I was already drawn into the conversation.
Right, he was really good in...
No Trump allowed.
I love Sherlock, etc. So some more movies that are coming out. One that I personally am very excited to see is Moana, the new Disney movie that actually comes out, I think... it's opening in some theaters tomorrow, and it's definitely going to be in theaters, I checked, on Thanksgiving and on Friday. And that is starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And he is Maui. He's a Hawaiian god, and it kind of tells the story of Hawaii's formation. But it is it looks really great. It looks like a really fun family movie. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the soundtrack for it. I don't know if you want to bring that up with the whole Trump getting mad at Hamilton thing.
Yeah, I think that Hamilton has to be completely off balance now that they stepped into the political, political fray.
It's really too bad because I saw it in August, like I've said, and when I told people that I was going to see it, I felt like a celebrity. People were like, oh, you got tickets? How did you get tickets? Oh my God, that's
so
amazing.
Did you remortgage your house?
Right, exactly, exactly. So, some other movies that are coming up on December 2nd, they're releasing the Jackie movie, which is about Jackie Kennedy after the JFK assassination that starred Natalie Portman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. On December 16th, if you have any Star Wars fans at your Thanksgiving table, Rogue One is coming out. It is part of what they're calling Star Wars Stories. So it's not in the kind of official chapters 1 through 7. Like, it's not, the one that was last year was The Force Awakens. That's one of the official chapters. This is kind of it's called a Star Wars Stories. It's meant to be an in-between, and this one is going to be in between episodes 3 and 4. And the only major character, I believe, who will show up is Darth Vader towards the end. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to seeing that myself. And then at the end of the month, December 23rd, the Mark Wahlberg movie Patriots Day is coming out about the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, yeah. This is actually good because people are very split. This might be a really good one to bring up because people are very split on whether or not Mark Wahlberg should have made this movie. Because I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the fact that the trial lasted several years and wrapped up pretty recently, but it still feels very fresh in my mind, and I think it feels fresh in a lot of people's minds. So there's a little bit of that too soon sort of debate that you could get caught up in.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like, I mean, I know obviously with movies you have to have a narrative and it works better if it's focusing kind of more on one guy, but it does kind of feel weird that there wasn't really any one person that came out of the Boston Marathon bombing as the hero, and I watched the most recent trailer that they released, and it seemed a little overwrought and dramatic. But who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah, it could be a good movie.
That could be a good topic.
But on the other side of the table, it's like, yes, Mark Wahlberg, we know you're from Boston.
Exactly, yeah.
We know already, yes.
Exactly.
It's been 2 decades of this, pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's definitely a good one.
Yes. So that's what I got for movies. Another thing that you might want to bring up, and you could actually pull up clips of this online, is that Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart have a cooking show together, and it just got renewed for its second season.
It's just incredible.
It is amazing. Apparently, they have been friends for a while. Their show is they have like a celebrity potluck, and they bake things and cook things and talk about stuff. And yeah,
that's really wild. I'd love to see a documentary on how Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart became friends. Insider trading thing? Did that give her a sort of cool that she didn't have before that?
If possible, or I don't know.
Stewart, she goes hard.
I just assume with celebrities that they all know each other. So
right.
But yeah, so that's another one that you could pull up clips to show everybody because it seems like it's pretty funny.
Yeah, for sure.
So Bill, what did you have for topics of conversation?
So I have a two-pronged approach. I think that it's important when a political conversation arises to nip it quickly in the bud. Now, you could go about this in a premeditated way, and you could set up a demerit board, much like, the gold star thing that they use in middle and elementary schools, but with a check mark next to everyone's name whenever they bring up something in the national political sphere, kind of like 10 points from House Uncle Joe, like that. And then the loser forfeits dessert and has to do dishes. And I think that if you can get everyone on board with that from the get-go, you might not have a problem at all. It'd be like a game not to bring it up. But I think we all know it's going to get brought up. I mean, I haven't read a news story on my own volition that didn't have something to do with Trump in the past. I don't know. What are we on? Day 13?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible to get away from it.
Yeah. The entire media landscape right now is flooded with it. It's going to come up. So I have a couple ideas for how to just nip it right in the bud. First one, and I think this might be the most subtle, is to chew very loudly and grossly until it stops. So just get some mashed potatoes in the mouth and just make it a thing.
With your mouth open.
Yeah, just make it a thing until tensions simmer down and maybe other people will start picking up on what you're doing and it can just be a subtle little chorus. We don't want to go there. You could also miss your plate with some sort of food. That always kind of causes a scene and might derail any sort of conversation. If the gravy goes onto the... Or you spill some wine, or you take a big scoop of mashed potatoes.
That will derail everything.
Theatrically just kind of... And hit the... Yeah, everyone will just... they'll rag on you a little bit. But you gotta weigh your pros and cons here. I think getting ragged on a little bit is better than getting sucked into the...
Exactly.
The morass of this whole thing. Yelling there's a fire could be a good one.
Well, maybe.
depending on the crowd, because then you can quickly just be like, oh, no, I thought I smelled smoke.
Right.
My bad. But typically that would stop any conversation when someone yells, there's a fire.
So my dad's time-honored technique, which I have often used as well, is to, if there's someone says something, really bad and everyone just kind of drops their forks and it could be political.
You can tell that a fight's brewing.
Yeah, it could be political. It could be, you never loved me and I hate you.
Right.
Is he clears his throat and he says, so how about them Red Sox? And it's even funnier when the Red Sox are not playing.
Right.
And everyone totally.
Like in November.
Yes, exactly. Everyone, in my experience, everyone has totally seen that as, okay. So my dad's name is Bill. So it's just like, okay, Bill is just trying to deflect the tension. And usually it elicits a few giggles and everyone simmers down. So I would also recommend that, like I said, especially in November or, your sports team of choice. But
Right. Except actually, no, because the Patriots are intermingled with – this is another – we'll call them Trump traps.
Oh, yes.
Talking about Hamilton is a for sure Trump trap.
Definitely.
But the Patriots are also a Trump trap because of that letter that Bill Belichick allegedly wrote.
Right.
In which he calls Donald Trump's campaign beautiful and says beautiful twice, I think, in the same note.
And Tom Brady – supposedly right. voting for him
right.
kind but of thing.
That Tom Brady and Trump friendship has been a story since like 2015.
Yeah.
So this next one is my favorite, and it employs a little bit of technology. There's an app on the App Store called Hamhorn, and I think that it basically simulates the big obnoxious horn sound that you hear in rap songs. So Megan, start talking about Trump. Just say anything you want.
So I was checking Twitter the other day, and I was reading what Trump said.
Nope, don't go there.
I'm stuffed in my tracks.
Yeah, it's like shock therapy. Try to say something about Hillary Clinton. Say like the bookstore thing.
What bookstore thing?
Oh, she was reading. She was buying books in Rhode Island yesterday.
Oh, okay. So I saw on Twitter that Hillary Clinton was.
No, not happening. Yep. No, you can also program your own sounds. I made one. Nope. And I think that this one could it could get some laughs even, and I think that you convince some other people in your party to download the horn, and every time you hear Trump's name, you're just going right for it. Nip it in the bud. There's also a ham sound, which is kind of funny. I don't know what it's referencing, really. Ham. Like, is that a 30 Rock thing? Ham.
I don't know.
Anyway, so those are my...
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's called Ham Horn. I guess the ham sound. I never figured out the name. And those are five ways to sort of nip the heated political discourse in the bud. But we all, I think, have a feeling that even some of those tactics won't work, and it really could devolve into some political quagmire you just don't want to be in. So I have a few contingency plans for when it gets really bad and you want out. The first one, you could just straight up make the argument personal. If you're going to have an argument either way, it might as well not be about national politics. You could just go right for the personal jab and have it out and not even worry about
Trump or Clinton. So, like, just yelling at your mother, this is just like the time
exactly.
that you wouldn't pick me up from school. Just
right.
go there.
You just go right there, and it becomes a good old American family fight as opposed to the depressing commentary on our society. You could start sobbing. I don't know very many people who cry in command, but if you can, that's usually a signifier for most people to
stop
they're doing.
Yeah.
And just start crying. You can bring a copy of the Communist Manifesto and read aloud from it until the argument stops. I think that will shock...
That'll stop everybody.
Yeah, I think it would just shock everyone. I think that if you just come way out of left field with some politics that aren't really on the fore.
Should we say, like, confidential to Bill's family, he may bring the Communist Manifesto? Yeah.
Don't listen. It's going to be in my back pocket.
or you could bring the Declaration of Independence or, like, the Bill of Rights or something.
Right. Oh, yeah. Do the whole Constitution thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but actually, no, because then you're going to get back into the...
Ooh, yeah.
Well...
That's like a Trump trap.
Trump has no respect for the First Amendment,
which
he doesn't, and
right.
all that stuff. And I just don't... I want to eat my mashed potatoes. I want to eat my turkey and not...
I like the Communist Manifesto.
Think about this. Yeah. The Communist Manifesto, I think, could actually work. And the final one... And I don't suggest this one because not everyone's going to get it, but if you do the shame chant from Game of Thrones, you get a cowbell and you just start chanting shame, shame. I think that people will start to get the idea, and I think it might harken back to Catholic school days for some of your older
Indeed.
Family members.
Well, I would add a couple of those things. One would be... pace yourself if you drink. Don't get too drunk because you might say things you regret.
Right.
Eat lots of protein. Drink plenty of water.
This should be a sober Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Sober-ish.
If there's an option to sit at the kids' table, sit at the kids' table.
Sit at the kids' table.
I am from not my immediate family, but my extended family is very large. And I believe that when we all get together, I'm still at the kids' table. So it is kids like to talk about nothing at all that's related to politics. If you're sitting down with a bunch of kids under 10, ask them about Pokemon, if there's a bunch of girls there, they might want to talk about My Little Pony. A lot of little girls like that show. Trying to think what else my kids are really into. You could talk about Legos. There's so many fun things you can talk about. You can ask them what they're getting for Christmas or for Hanukkah, or what they want for Christmas or Hanukkah. That would be a good one because little kids have that all like in their head.
Oh, yeah.
And they will just go.
I do too. I mean, if you ask me about my Christmas list.
If you're talking to kids who are like five, all kids who are five love Paw Patrol. I mean, you just have to say like, oh, so who's your favorite dog on Paw Patrol? And they will just go off. So kids table is a great option.
When I've sat at the kids table at family gatherings, I kind of like to egg the kids on a little bit, get them to do things. think you're okay.
You can use the kids
kind of harmless.
Right. You can use the kids as a distraction too. Like if, you know, some uncle starts ranting on about this or that, be like, hey, Brittany, do you remember you were showing me that dance routine you learned last week?
Yes.
Hit it.
You teach the kids before dinner starts a choreographed dance routine. And then if it really starts getting bad, this is the ultimate contingency plan. You go, kids, hit it. And you put the music on. And,
yeah.
And everyone will be like, oh, yeah.
Everyone loves the children.
Right.
Because they're so cute.
Yeah. And I know that for the second half of pretty much any family gathering I have is my aunts trying to convince my musically inclined siblings and cousins to sing them a song.
Right.
So that's another thing. You'd be like, hey, hit it with the song.
Right.
Yeah, sing the Frozen thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing that you can do is have a friend or two who's not there on standby for text. So, you know, just go to the bathroom, take a deep breath, text your friend and say, Lord help me, I'm going to kill this entire family. And your friend will text back and say, no, don't do that. You'll be on the front page of the paper. It would be terrible.
We actually were talking when I was trying to get ideas from other people in the newsroom. We were talking about how it's kind of likely that we could have some Thanksgiving brawl arrests on Friday.
I feel like we often do. It's Thanksgiving or Christmas where, you know, just as a regular course thing that people get into brawls, you know, alcohol.
Yeah.
The holidays are filled with a lot of feeling and drama. And
right. Alcohol, people you don't often see all the time.
Exactly.
Or want to sometimes.
And I feel like maybe Facebook has kind of ruined this for a lot of people because, you know, back in the day, if it was, you know, the kind of weirdo uncle that you had or baddie aunt who you only saw them once a year and you could kind of suck it up for once a year. But now if you're friends with them on Facebook, you get to see every single crazy thing that they post on their Facebook page. And
they're like, I heard Hillary Clinton was injecting fire ants with homo.
Right.
With homo juice and, you know, turning people gay.
Exactly. Or they're talking about how, I don't know, that.
Or any of the actual real fake news stories that have.
Exactly. Or yeah, exactly. So if they,
I heard the Clintons killed 28 people.
Right. Or like they said that, I don't know, Donald Trump is the head of the Illuminati or who knows. So, yes. But that, I feel like that's the unfortunate thing is that now you know what's in their head.
Right.
It's harder to suck it up for just one afternoon.
Yeah. And I mean, if you are going to just embrace a political argument, you can do your debate prep. Just go on their Facebook page and write out some notes. And
yeah.
Do the whole thing. I mean, we haven't really discussed that angle. You could just go in there with your facts ready to own the political argument that will likely arise.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, maybe it's similar for other people in Massachusetts, but I was kind of raised, you don't really talk about politics at the table because it can turn into fighting. But hey, some people come from families that love a good argument. So yeah, be prepared. Get your facts. Don't be afraid to look up facts under the table on your phone.
Right. But I think that my suggestions are better. You should first try to nip it in the bud with either chewing loudly, missing your plate, yelling there's a fire, or using an air horn, or you should do some of the contingency plans I laid out. I think that these are all good stunts to stop.
And there's always, you know, and there's always stuff too, like if you're not hosting, you can ask the host and the hostess, what can I do? Can I help you with something? And that way you can kind of get out of.
Right.
You can get out of stuff. Like you can. Maybe everyone's arguing it for after dinner drinks, and you don't care because you're in the kitchen scrubbing the dishes.
You're in the kitchen, you're doing the stuff. Yeah, because realistically, you just have to think about how to fill 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
With non-political conversation.
Yeah, and then, you know, make sure you have your own ride, and then you can leave as soon as dinner's over.
Yep. That's So I think that we've well equipped our listeners with
I hope
what to do on Thanksgiving Day. And we wish all of you the best of luck. This is going to be, I mean, in Massachusetts, there's like a, just by the way that our towns voted, there's like a 1/4 to 1/3 chance that someone at the dinner table voted for Trump.
Right.
Regardless of what town you're in.
And most of the other people didn't, so.
Right.
Yeah. So, but who knows, you know, people could be going to other parts of the country where they're the only Clinton supporter or they're the only Trump supporter, so.
Yeah. Imagine going to a state where it's like, it was really like contentious, like Pennsylvania, where like liberal media is blaming Pennsylvania for losing the election. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
I know. Well, good luck, listeners, and consider this a dry run for Christmas, I guess, if you celebrate it.
All right, till next time.
Oh, but we should do one more thing. Bill, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving?
Oh, my favorite part of Thanksgiving? Oh, man. Mashed potatoes. I'm almost like a meme in my family to the sheer bulk of mashed potatoes that I consume. But I love the whole meal. And I probably eat about a pound to a pound and a half of mashed potatoes.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm kind of gross. How about you? What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is the apple pie, but I am biased because I make it.
Oh.
And I make.
Hey, we didn't bring you on the show to plug your apple pie.
I make it once a year, and every year I have to look up the recipe again. I always forget.
How good is your apple pie, though?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's from the Cook's Illustrated, and I make the pie crust from scratch, and it's delicious. I also make, I don't make the ice cream. I just buy the ice cream. But I also make whipped cream. You just get heavy cream, and you beat it with a standing mixer for, like, 2 minutes. And
ooh, that sounds really good.
It's amazing. I even made my apple pie when I was about to give birth, so it's that good.
So is your favorite part the way it tastes, or watching other people eat it and being showered with praise?
My favorite part is having it for breakfast on Friday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Apple pie a la mode for breakfast?
Yes. It was delicious. So good. My son's birthday is on Friday. He's turning 5. And when he was born, it was also the day after Thanksgiving. And I wasn't allowed to eat anything for a while. And then the next day, my husband brought me a Tupperware container of all the Thanksgiving leftovers. It was room temperature. It was the most delicious meal I've ever had in my life. I had not eaten for like 36 hours.
Eating it cold.
And I was texting him like, please, can you, I was like, the nurses are letting me eat, bring something for me. And he just brought this huge thing. And I usually don't eat that much in one sitting, but he just watched me inhale it and was like, wow.
I imagine you just like shaking the gravy out of the Tupperware.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, yes. That is basically what I did. I probably licked it clean too. So I have no shame.
All right. Well, I hope we left you with a little brighter of an episode than we have been in the past couple times.
Good luck, everyone. Election.
Good luck. Godspeed.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening to the Metro West Daily News podcast. This was put together by Megan Kelly and Bill Shaner and was edited by Bill Shaner. Music is by the Milford band Born Without Bones. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Metro West Daily. You can also check our website for updated episodes at metrowestdailynews.com/podcasts. And if you subscribe to us in the iTunes store, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get new listeners and boosts the signal for us. Thanks and happy Thanksgiving. Why can't I just fall in your line? Why can't I just see that line?